Welcome to episode 39 of Hit the Mic with the Stacey Harris. Hello, hello. Once again, this is episode 39 of Hit the Mic with the Stacey Harris. I am your host, the Stacey Harris. I am super excited for today because we're talking a little bit less about business and a little more about our lives and eating and food. So if you have not yet eaten, I would, because the beginning of this episode will make you hungry because we talk about food. I'm joined today by Laura Dulch, and I'm super excited to talk to Laura because she's a friend of mine, and she's a really, really wonderful health coach, and I'm super excited to get to share her information with you guys because I really like how she shares her stuff. So we'll get into that in a second. First things first, I want to remind you guys that to get a feature on the show, to get a shout out, I need your reviews. So head over to iTunes or Stitcher and leave your reviews. There's links to both of those on the show notes. You can find all of the show notes for this episode at thestaceyharris.com/episode39. And thestaceyharris.com houses all of the show notes for all 39 episodes of this show so far. And I cannot believe our next episode is episode 40. I do want to tell you something a little cool before we get into it. I do want to let you guys know, I'm going to be doing a live episode of this show on Tuesday, March 25th. The very next episode after this one that you're listening to right now is a live episode. We're actually going to be doing a Google Hangout on air where you guys can ask me your questions live and in person through a Hangout, and I'm going to be answering them. Social media questions, blogging questions, email marketing questions, just how I run my business, podcasting questions, anything you want to ask me, you can ask me, and we're going to do that. And after that is live, I will pull it, and it will actually go up in the stream so you guys can catch it on replay if you want to. But if you go over to the show notes page for this episode, thestaceyharris.com/episode39, I'll have a link so you guys can RSVP and find out where to watch that. And if you're listening to this after March 25th, then you should listen to the replay. It's the very next episode, episode 40. So that'll be cool. Yeah, I'm really excited. That'll be a lot of fun. So without any more, you know, yabbering from me, let's talk a little bit about Laura Dulch because she's awesome. She's a health, nutrition, and lifestyle coach who's passionate about helping you feel your best through a practical whole life approach to health. You can get her email updates and weekly tips over her website. There's a link to that. And what I like most about her is all of her tips are about boosting your energy and reducing your stress without having to be more stressed out about making it all work. So also, if you're ready to start eating effortlessly, you can sign up for her free video training series, which is also linked to you over the show notes page, and we'll actually talk about during the interview. So with all of that said, let's get into it. Let's hear straight from Laura. I will see you guys on the other side. All right, everybody. I am here now with Laura, and I am so excited to have her because we are going to talk about food and about eating and the natural part of all of us needing to do that. And I think that we are all so busy that we forget to take care of ourselves, and that's something we're going to talk about in like a minute. So first, welcome. Thanks for being on the show, Laura.
Thanks, Stacey. I'm super excited to be here.
The first thing I always make everybody do is introduce themselves. So will you take a second and kind of introduce yourself to everybody listening?
I will indeed. My name is Laura Dulch, and I am a health, nutrition, and lifestyle coach for what I affectionately refer to as I'm too busy to be healthy types of professional women, which I am one of them. I split my time between Seattle and New York City, and I work with clients all over the world, actually, helping them navigate this crazy tendency that, as you said, we have to put ourselves at the bottom of our list.
Yes, and our list is always so full that we never quite get to the bottom of our list. So we were actually chatting a little bit before we got on because we were both kind of crazy busy right now. And you brought up that you did not plan your day very well today, totally calling you out.
It's all good.
So you're doing this weird snacking thing. Yes. I'm sure this ties into some of the tips you're going to give us today, for healthier sort of lifestyles without it being super, super like difficult. So I kind of wanted to start there because it's kind of something that was like top of mind for both of us. I know, since I called you out, that I scarfed down my lunch in about 5.5 minutes, which is equally unhealthy.
totally.
Because I was like, oh God, I have to get this done because I've got stuff I'm doing this afternoon. And I'm in pre-launch mode. And so I'm all over the place right now. And I'm mid-rebrand and all this crazy stuff is going on. So I kind of scarfed my whole meal down in like competitive eating style. You're not alone.
Yeah.
Whoever's out there. So tell us sort of about the not eating thing.
what happened to me today? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I first have to say that like I never try to hide this stuff because I really think that I would be useless to my clients and to my customers if I didn't have the same struggles that they did. And if I didn't fall into the same traps that I try to help them avoid, because, so I'll just say that first. But yeah, I mean, I just didn't plan my day very well. I had, it was just one of those days where I had back-to-back calls and one of them took longer than it should have. And so here I am and it's midday here in Seattle and I haven't had lunch yet. And, I ate breakfast pretty early. So I'm kind of hungry. And so I was doing this sort of like, triage snacking thing to try to get me through this interview.
Right.
But, as you pointed out when we talked before, it sometimes makes you hungrier. And, I think, it does happen to me occasionally. I mean, I think the lesson is that, if you're going to find yourself in a situation like this, at the very least, to make sure that you have access to healthy food until you can get to an actual meal. Which I do, I was snacking on, I had some dates and almond butter, and a slice of an apple. So like, it wasn't like I was diving into a bag of cookies, but I might've had there been a bag of cookies sitting here in my apartment.
Right. Because at that point it's like, I don't care what it is as long as it's food and it goes in my mouth like as quickly as humanly possible.
Exactly. Right. So, I mean, the best case scenario is that you plan your day a little bit better and that you actually sit down and take at least 15, 20 minutes to eat a meal. And most days, I do that. I mean, most days I do practice what I preach. But if you anticipate that that's not going to happen on a certain day, just make sure you have access to things that are better than that bag of cookies. So that you at least get a little bit of nourishment out of whatever you right. eat.
Are you a proponent of sort of having something with you too? Cause like, I know for me, and I got into this habit after I had my son, cause I always had crap for him in my bag.
Yeah.
And so I would have like, some almonds or, a granola bar or something that would keep me out of running into like the gas station and getting a bag of chips or running through the drive-thru and getting some French fries or, So like, also I am one of those people in total transparency here that gets really cranky when I'm hungry.
Like, yeah, me too. Oh my God.
You know that thing on Pinterest that's everywhere that says like, don't hold against me what I said to you out of hunger?
Like, I haven't seen that, but I need to get it.
That's super me. Like, I am mean when I'm hungry. Like, it's like, feed me or I will eat you. Like, it's kill or be killed here, people. And so for me, like, I try to have something like to eat like every few hours because I have learned through my own trials and error that eating more often throughout the day is better for me. So like, seriously, I have like a little thing of cashews that sits on my desk and I'll have like 2 cashews at like 2 o'clock and I'm good. Which is probably not like super good, but it's better than like waiting till I get hungry and eating half the kitchen. So are you a proponent, getting back to my question as I'm rambles here today, are you a proponent of sort of always having something on you that you can sort of scarf down?
Yeah, I am a big fan of having healthy snacks with you, mostly because then you're in control of what you put in your body at all times, to your point, so that you don't run into, a 7-Eleven, in a panic and get right. something really terrible. Having said that, it's funny that you asked me that because another friend of mine who you also know, Laura Krulik,
yes.
who also works in this same health and wellness and nutrition space, we were joking the other day, like she always says, but it's not like you're going to, it's not like you live in a place where you're not going to have food. Like you don't have to act like it's going to be an emergency every minute. And, she makes a good, it's funny. I mean, I was laughing at myself because I'm like, I always have food with me. And those are the people that you're talking about. So I think there's a balance because, yeah, I mean, my attitude is, it helps me stay in control when I am in a situation where I really need to eat something and I just don't have access to other stuff. On the flip side, you know, the danger is that you'll just eat it because it's there. So you do have to sort of know what your rhythms are and you know, given the choice, always opt for a meal if right. It's mealtime rather than a snack is kind of the bottom line, I think. But yeah, I mean, I always have stuff with me for sure.
I'm definitely one of those people because, like, I remember way back when I had, like, a quote-unquote real job with an office, like, I had food in my desk. Like, I always have food.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do too. And I you know, I advise all my clients to do that too, particularly when you're in an office environment where it tends to be that afternoon slump, you know. And yes. So, I mean, offices are, like, terrible. I mean, when I worked in the corporate world, like, you know, I mean, at least now I work from my home, so I have control over what's in here. But when you're in an office environment, there's always that person with the candy bowl or the cookies or the cake or the, you know, what cupcakes, whatever it is. And so when you hit that, like, slump at 3-4 o'clock, if you don't have something in your desk that will satisfy that craving that you're having, you're going to eat the other stuff that's sitting out. You just are. You know, right. So yeah, I'm totally with you on having stuff especially in that kind of office environment where you don't have control.
I also do it on road trips because nothing makes me hungrier than having to drive for 6 hours through the desert. And I live in Arizona, so everything from here is 6 hours in the desert before you hit anything. and let me tell you, that desert landscape, nothing like it'll make a girl hungry. Oh my gosh.
Well, and there's nowhere to stop even if you wanted to.
Right. And also I have that, like, I always take water too. Like, I have this perpetual fear that I'm going to get broken down and, like, starved. I don't know. It's a whole thing.
Well, that's what Laura was joking about. Because she's like, you're going to be okay. I'm like, I know, Laura, but
what if I get stuck in an elevator? There you go.
Well, but I mean, I think the more relevant thing is, yeah, like, what if you get stuck in the airport and you're at an airport? Like, a lot of airports have better choices now, but a lot of them really don't. So, like, you know, it is a balancing act. I think, you know, she makes a good point, you know, but I like to sort of always have something.
Yeah. And definitely on the airplane, I always take food and water. I always buy two big things of water after I get through security.
Yeah.
And some sort of, like, trail mix kind of something, you know, the best sort of package thing I can find. Yeah. Or fruit. Some airports now have fruit, which is cool.
Yeah, that's always apples and stuff. And actually, strangely, for anyone who's listening who does travel a lot, airports that have Starbucks in them, don't laugh. I mean, like, you wouldn't think Starbucks, but Starbucks actually has some pretty good healthful snack options now. Like, you can get little bags of dry roasted nuts, you can get apples,
granola.
Yeah, you can get granola.
Maybe that's just the Starbucks at my airport.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it varies for sure. Mm-hmm. But that's always the first place that I look for because they do tend to have better options. You got to watch out for some of their yogurt parfaits because they do load it up with some extra stuff and some sugar and stuff that you may or may not want. But that, you know, it's becoming easier to find things in airports, definitely.
And that's definitely something to consider. I also, you know, because I know a lot of you guys that listen are a lot like me, and the fact that you travel a lot for work or to conferences or whatever, I also take snacks with me to conferences.
Yeah.
In my bag, I take, like, trail mix and stuff. Not just because in the middle of the day, it's a better alternative than the dessert bar that they have out. Because let's be honest, as much as I try, I'm not the healthiest person on the planet. I will totally dive into the dessert bar at 3 o'clock.
Oh my gosh.
Because they're delicious. And I am all about balance. But I get that, like, it's 11 o'clock and I forgot to eat dinner, or I somehow ate dinner at 4 o'clock, or I ate lunch at 3 o'clock, so I skipped dinner. It'll be like 11 o'clock and I'm starving. And it's like, well, this would be a really bad time to order a hamburger from room service, or a pizza or something. So I always carry snacks with me then too. So that's a really good tip, I think. You can say if it's not, but that's something that I try and do because I do know a lot of you guys travel too. Like Laura and I do. So that's something else I do as far as a travel perspective.
Yeah, and just to give some people some sort of specific things that I tend to carry that are very portable. I mean, you know, a bag of nuts, you know, for sure. And I tend to go for the dry roasted ones. You know, salt's a personal preference, and that, you know, that's whatever, either or. But I also nuts. I carry, you know, like apples and bananas and, you know, fruit that is easy, that has its own, like, wrapping, basically.
Yeah.
And then I also really like, you know, for this isn't a whole food, which would be my preference, but I like, don't laugh, I like Lara bars because they're fruit and nut bars, and that's all. And there are lots of other brands that do the same thing.
I like the Kind bars.
Yeah, Kind bars are pretty good too. And What's the other one? Oh, Kits Organic, which is a sub-brand of Clif Bar, because Clif bars are loaded with sugar, honestly. But their Kits Organic bars are just fruit and nuts. So, you know, if you opt for something that isn't a whole food, those are easy to carry around as well.
Yeah, so, and I literally just throw it in my suitcase. And then it's there when I get to the hotel. But yeah, so that's sort of our first little step here. So, you know, eat real meals when you can. And when you can't, try and make the best possible, because everyone gets into a situation. And I think, you know, I think you're a great example of no matter how long you have these really great, established, solid habits, stuff happens. Like, life is life, and that's not going to change. And I think you probably agree with me that it is a balancing act. Just because you're taking all these steps doesn't mean you have to skip the dessert bar at the conference every once in a while. There is some delicious stuff over there.
Yeah, well, and I do. I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, Stacey, because I do what I do mostly because I love food, and I want other people to be able to love food without like this guilt layer. It makes me really sad. Like, it really, I mean, that's what motivates me, because it really kills me when I see women in particular who have this sort of adversarial relationship with food. And I get where it comes from. It's very hard sometimes not to have that kind of relationship with food, given, you know, the world that we live in. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think, you know, I have a major sweet tooth, and I don't have a problem indulging that, you know, but I know what my limits are, and I also know how to manage it, you know, with other, you know, making sure that I'm staying nourished throughout the day so that I don't have that crazy uncontrolled sugar craving at 4 o'clock, or, you know, things like I know the strategies that I have to use in order to, so that it doesn't go crazy. But yeah, I mean, I love sweets. I love really rich, awesome restaurant meals. And I also love really simple meals that I cook at home. It is all about finding your rhythm and, you know, being able to enjoy food.
I agree. And I'm a humongous fan of Mexican food. Like, if I could live on it for the rest of my life at all, I totally would. But Americanized Mexican food specifically is generally cooked in a very, very unhealthy way. So one of the things we do a lot is, like, I go to this really divey place that has terrible food, but I have their grilled fish tacos, which are the best freaking things on the planet, and aren't that bad for me, because it's a grilled piece of fish in a corn tortilla.
Yeah,
that sounds really awesome. Cabbage and pico de gallo, like, delicious, like, I'll eat that every day. And then also we make it at home a lot, because then we control what's in it.
Yep. Yeah. And that's really key. I mean, you know, for people who don't cook at home a lot, and who might actually be a little intimidated by cooking, I really encourage you to start experimenting in the kitchen, because yeah, you're right, Stacey. Like, it's, that's a big piece of being able to stay healthy, is control more often than not controlling what you put in your body. And that doesn't mean that you don't go out. I mean, I love going out for dinner, and I love restaurants, but yeah, I would say, you know, I cook about 80%, maybe more sometimes, of my meals at home. For sure. Oh, and actually, before I forget, fish taco recipe. There's an awesome one, don't laugh, in Gwyneth Paltrow's most recent cookbook.
Really?
I've
heard a lot of good things about that cookbook, so I won't laugh. Although I did laugh when I heard she was putting out a cookbook. But I've heard really good things about it.
Yeah, go to my website. It's just dolchwellness.com, and I posted about it on my blog last week, I think. Type in the search bar Gwyneth Paltrow, it'll come up. But anyway,
in the show notes. So if you guys go to the show notes at stacyharris.com, you guys can find it, because I'm going to go look at it after we're done.
And one of the recipes I put up there was the fish taco recipe.
I love fish tacos. I could live on, seriously, I could eat them breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. Like, they're the best.
So yummy.
That and enchiladas and guacamole. Anything with avocados, pretty much, you have to be sold.
I love avocados. Oh, actually, here's a random little tip that I just learned about avocados. There's a study not that long ago that showed that if you ate, I think it was half of an avocado at lunch in the middle of the day, that people ended up eating less calories, which is not huge.
My problem would be eating only half of an avocado.
I know. I know, me too.
Is it double helpful if I eat the whole avocado?
Well, it's funny. I don't know why this study thought it was so revolutionary. I mean, it basically, you know, anytime you're eating something with, you know, some good fat in it, it fills you up and it stabilizes your blood sugar. So it's not a huge surprise that you would eat less during the rest of the day. But anyway, just a random little avocado fact that I read recently.
I love avocados. Seriously, avocados are possibly my favorite food in the whole world. I could eat them.
Oh my gosh, they're awesome.
Almost everything. My favorite meat place to eat breakfast at out here has this Eggs Benedict, and it's but it's vegetarian. So it's an English muffin, and then it's spinach and avocado with an egg over it and this chipotle hollandaise sauce. Oh my god.
Yum.
It's that the best thing.
Awesome.
It's so good. It's so good. So yeah, apparently this really episode is going to make you guys hungry.
I know. Well, now I'm starving. Thank you.
I know. Like, I'm not helpful at all for you today. I just ate lunch too, so I'm good. Like I said, though, I ate it really fast, so I'm kind of like, oh, now I'm super full. Okay, so what I wanted to have you on the show for was to talk more about how we can, you know, be healthier and be more efficient with our health. And by efficient, I mean, like, how can we manage to be healthier when we're working way more than we're supposed to and would like to, at some point, have a social life and maybe drink a lot of wine? Because that's just me sneaking personal advice out of you.
Hey, I love my red wine. I'm a big fan.
See, I'm a white wine girl, so I get none of these special studies that it's going to cure heart disease.
It's okay. It's okay. You can have some dark chocolate.
That I'm on board with.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, as you know, Stacey, I mean, my big sort of thing is this concept of effortless eating. And right. I actually had a dialogue with a blogger friend of mine a couple weeks ago because she had posted an article about how, you know, being healthy was hard. And when I saw the headline for her post, I was like, dude, what is she talking about? And so I went over there and I was reading her post and I'm like, oh, well, yeah, you know, she's right. It is kind of hard. Here's the thing, though. It does take effort. So effortless eating is, it's a little bit of a myth to some extent, but here's my contention that, staying healthy and eating well, it really doesn't have to be hard if you can set up a framework for yourself to support it. And that's kind of where I come in, because often that's what's missing for people is, they're running around crazy and they don't have this sort of like support system underneath them to help them make these choices feel effortless, because they're never entirely effortless, obviously.
Right. I had to go to the grocery store and stuff like that. That's a lot of effort.
Totally.
Not that I do that, but I outsource it. And
well, that's a good option too, right? If you can outsource stuff, do it. But you know, you can get to a point where it starts to feel effortless because you just have these systems in place. I mean, it's like with anything else. It's like running your business. You put the systems in place and then things start to feel more effortless. It takes a little bit of effort on the front end, but once you do that, you know, you're kind of on a roll. So, yeah. And I'm happy to share sort of specific, you know, sort of things for how to set that up. I don't know if you want me to.
Yeah. Let's talk about maybe two or three like specific things that the people can kind of take, like the foundational stuff, things people can take action on, like after listening to this or right now, that would kind of put them on the right track, to eating more effortlessly. And we'll see if maybe I'm not screwing everything up totally.
It's a process. Yeah. The first thing, is to keep the pantry stocked. And I'm going to tell you how to do that. I mean, obviously that's pretty, you know, basic advice, but
it's hard though.
It can be. Yes. If you don't know kind of where to start. So what one of the things that I recommend to everyone who works with me is to pick up a copy of one of my favorite cookbooks. It's called The Moosewood Restaurant Cooks at Home. The Moosewood Restaurant is a restaurant in upstate New York in Ithaca, and they have a line of cookbooks. This one, though, The Moosewood Restaurant Cooks at Home, is specifically designed for home cooks. And what I love about it, there are lots of things I love about it, but there is a pantry list in the back. Now, I've taken that pantry list and I've modified it for my clients and my programs, but even just the basic one that they had in there is a good place to start. I've modified it just to make it a little bit more busy person friendly.
Right.
But even if you just grab that pantry list and start slowly adding things into it. I mean, if you were to try to buy everything on the list at one time, it would cost you a fortune. So I recommend that people start with, you know, one section at a time. So for example, I like to keep, you know, lots of different whole grains in my house. So I have a bag of brown rice. I have some quinoa. I have some millet. I have all kinds of choices. I keep them in the refrigerator because they keep longer in there, so I don't have to be stressed out about using them all up. And so that's always there if I need to, you know, add something to a meal. Or I always have a bag of pre-washed greens in my refrigerator. I always have frozen vegetables in the freezer too. I have a bag of frozen broccoli in there because, you know, sometimes I just don't make it to the store to get the fresh stuff or the farmer's right. market, whatever. So stocking the pantry is the first step. Like once you can start to kind of add things into your pantry and then every time you go shopping, just make sure you check your, you know, what your levels on that stuff and just restock it. That will be a game changer. So that's the first thing.
And I really love the bulk department for a lot of that stuff. Like, we keep a lot of, like, nuts and stuff on hand because that's a really popular afternoon yeah. snack. And, like, we're big on raisins. Like, if you could just give my son a bowl of raisins, he's like, that's a perfectly acceptable snack to him. So we do that a lot. Or, like, and fresh stuff. Like, we always have bananas. We always have apples. Because we live in Arizona and we can always get them.
Yeah.
That may not be the case for everybody, but... So, yeah, I really like that, and I think it's something we forget. The other thing, the part I fall down on, and I'm much better now that someone else in my house is grocery shopping, is replacing those things when they get used up.
Yes, that's the key. Yeah,
we keep a lot of, like, we'll keep, like, standard canned kind of stuff. Like, if we have, like, soup mixes or, like, soups and stuff. Like, I really like the Annie's. I think they're Annie's. Annie's soup line. Yeah. I found them when I was a vegetarian, and I loved their vegetarian little freezer meals because they were easy, and I was the only one in my house that was a vegetarian, so I like, on nights where I did not want to cook two things, I could just do that. But they have some really good, like, soups and stuff, so those are always in the house on nights where we don't want to do anything.
Like, totally.
Or, like, yeah. You know, I've been sick this last couple of weeks, so it's been really nice to, like, just be able to open up a can of, like, tomato soup or whatever and just have that, and it'd be done.
Yeah, well, and I like to keep canned beans in the house for the same reason, you know, because, yeah, because beans are great. They kind of, you can mix them with vegetables and, you know, or saute them with vegetables and, like, serve them with brown rice. And, you know, that is a perfectly acceptable meal. And if you want to add some chicken to it, great, you know. So, yeah, I'm totally with you. So that's, keeping it stocked is, yes, that is a bit of a challenge. If you start to, what I tell people is to start just factoring that into, you know, when they're making a shopping list, just, you know, in addition to what they just need for recipes or whatever, just check all that basic stuff and say, okay, I'm out of beans, I'm out of, you know, rice, yeah. whatever it is.
Are you a big proponent of planning your meals ahead?
Yeah, actually, that's one of the things I'm gonna, that was gonna be like a bonus tip, but I'll talk about it now. Yes. Yeah, so
sorry, guys, no bonuses for you.
No bonuses. I am, and I have a whole kind of, like, system that I teach in my programs where I can get you from, I can get you to plan and prepare a week of meals in roughly 3 hours a week. Like, and that includes shopping time too. Yes.
Wow, it takes me that long to plan.
I know, but see, if you follow my system. But here's the planning part of it. Really, if you get into the habit of setting aside just 30 minutes on your, and put it on your calendar, I'm a big fan of putting stuff on your calendar. 30 minutes on, like, most people choose Sundays. That seems to be, I don't know why, like, that seems to be the meal planning day.
But today, Wednesday is meal planning day at my house because Thursday is grocery shopping day.
Well, there you go. So you have that system, right? So you put 30 minutes on the calendar. And what I do in that 30 minutes, or what I recommend other people do, is to scan their refrigerator and their pantry first for the stuff that's missing from your, you know, typical pantry stocking list. And then to choose a couple of recipes, or, you know, what I call throw together meals, whatever, a couple recipes that you want to make that week, and then add those things to the list if you don't have them. In fact, I tend to base my meals on what I have left over in the house. So that scanning of the refrigerator and the pantry is a helpful planning tool in and of itself, because you're like, oh, I need to use that up and I need to use that up. So this is what we're going to make this week, right? And then make your list. And that's like 30 minutes. And then once you have that list, the shopping trip really doesn't need to take more than 30 minutes, barring, you know, dramas with, like, you know, children wanting candy bars in the shop. You know, that happens.
Not my family, does it?
Barring the tantrums in the grocery store, which I get, you know, sometimes that happens.
But not in my house. We have a zero tolerance policy for that. I mean, none of that in my house.
But yeah.
Also, from a family perspective, you know, mentioning kids, my kid really likes to help make the grocery list and the menu. So, like, I'll sit on the couch and we'll be like, do we have any? And he'll, like, go search the pantries in the refrigerator. It's a perfectly entertaining way to entertain your child for 30 minutes.
That's a great idea. I'm just saying. Make it a game. I love it. That's a really great idea. I'm totally going to use that.
Well, it gets him involved in what he's eating. He also, he really likes, like, to cook. Like, it's something he's super into. Like, he likes to help in the kitchen. So it gets him involved. And, you know, someday when he's an adult, he's not going to have to say, oh, I have to get married because my mom cooked me food my whole life and now I have to find a wife who does it. Of course, that could be because I married a man that cooks. And so I'm like, you know, you should really do this. This makes you a catch.
I love it. I love it. That's awesome. So now he can choose.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, and I do have to make sure I get this in because this is a big piece of it. So stocking the pantry, using your calendar to set aside that planning time. The other thing is when you cook, I always tell people to cook once, eat three times. Meaning if you're going to cook, make sure that you make enough for three servings for everyone in your household. That might mean you need to get bigger pots. That's fine.
That's crazy. Really?
Yes. Because then you have leftovers all the time. And the beauty of leftovers now, and you know, some people are like, well, I don't want to eat the same thing over and over again. Well, if you cook a couple of different recipes during the week and then you have leftovers from that and you have a pantry stock with other stuff, you can create different variations of what I call throw together meals
right. Throughout
the week. It's the greatest thing ever. So, and you freeze. I also recommend that people freeze some of it. So let's say you make up a big pot of chili, which, you know, in the winter is a great thing to have. And then, I automatically freeze half of it. And then I'll pull it back out the following week and it's like new again. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Like I'll eat half of it and then, you know, freeze half of it.
Yeah.
So having the right containers to freeze stuff is a big piece of that rule, right? So you want to make sure that you can store the leftovers. But yeah, cook once, eat three times. It will change your life.
We do that a lot with like things like chili or soup, or like I will make homemade chicken noodle soup, with like fresh vegetables and everything, because it's so much better than out of the can.
Yeah.
And again, you control everything that's in it. And so we always like freeze half of that and like soup and stuff. Yeah. But I don't know about everything.
Well, there are certain recipes that you're not going to be able to
fish
do that
tacos
with.
Do not reheat, my friend.
Now, well, do for a couple days. Like the fish, if you keep the fish, the filling separate from the, you know, from the tortillas,
yeah,
obviously.
Need some fresh grilled goodness. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's
I can't,
true.
I can't hang on that one.
It's
but
true.
But no,
yes,
I do like the principle of it, though. And it's true, you can turn stuff into more than one thing.
Yeah.
We do this a lot at, like, the holidays when we have, like, turkey or stuff for Thanksgiving and Christmas, is we'll have, like, turkey enchiladas. And, like, you don't have to have turkey sandwiches for a month. You can turn it into all sorts of stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the other thing that I really encourage people to do is, this is, you know, the other thing that I talk to people about a lot is this idea of meal assembly, right? So if you have leftovers and you have stuff in your pantry, like practice and play with it, like start to get comfortable improvising these kind of like combinations. And, you know, sometimes you're going to come up with something that tastes like crap and that's fine. You know, it's fine. It's not a big deal, but often you're going to stumble across some combination or some sort of, you know, last minute meal that you threw together from leftover vegetables and, you know, some, you know, grilled chicken breast and whatever that was like your favorite new meal. And you're not going to know that until you get comfortable kind of like experimenting.
Well, I think one of the big fears for people who, you know, maybe you're listening and you're thinking this or whatever, but who say, oh, I'm a terrible cook. A lot of times it's just because they're so afraid they're going to make something that tastes terrible. I am a really good cook and I make stuff that tastes terrible all the time. Like it happens in the course of experimenting. And also you may just be really bad at following recipes.
Like,
some of my favorite things, my mom used to make this thing when I was a kid called stuff. And it was literally always like we hadn't gone grocery shopping for two, like it was leftovers and whatever we could find in the pantry. And it was always different and it was always delicious.
I love it.
I could never tell you what anything it was. Like, it would be seriously like a whole week's worth of leftovers put together, which sounds disgusting, but always came out great.
No, it's always great. It is. It's, I mean, and those are the best, you know, for me, it's so great to come home on a crazy day where I've been, you know, running around in meetings and with clients all day. And it's like, you know, it's 6:30, 7 o'clock and I'm starving and I open up the fridge and I'm like, oh, there are leftovers and stuff that I can like, and I have a bag of spinach so I can make a little salad and I can, you know what I mean? Like, it's a really great feeling when you start to get into the habit of doing that. And again, creating that sort of framework, that support system to help you make the better choices.
I always joke that I'm always happiest in our house right after the grocery shopping's been done. Because, like, if nothing else fails, like, if all else fails, like, if everything right now goes horribly bad, our identity is stolen and we have no money, or, you know, whatever awful things could happen, there is food in the house and we can all eat.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There is a comfort to that.
You know, if there's an earthquake, at least I have food in the house.
Yeah, so, like, if something happens,
for 3 days.
We're good. We have food. Like, the world, all is well. We can eat. Like, there's a comfort to that. So I agree. Having stuff in the house, and there's nothing worse than that feeling. You know, whether you're doing like a side hustle thing or you've just been out with clients or, you know, you're still working a 9-to-5 or whatever it is, coming home and having to figure out what you're going to eat or what you're going to put on the table for your family sucks.
Yeah.
It's like the worst.
Yeah, it does. It does. And when you, exactly. So that's where the effortless piece comes in, right? Because that's how effortless is that when you open up the fridge and you're like, oh, look, I already have stuff.
Well, and when it becomes part of your routine, I think it becomes a little less effortful. You know what I mean? Like, when it's just something you do, you know, at first planning a menu and doing the grocery shopping every week was a pain in the ass, but now it's sort of what happens. And you know, if it slides and ends up being a day late or whatever, there's always stuff in the house that we can work with until then.
Totally.
And we also put on the menu, like, no, we know we're going to eat out that night because we're going to be on the other side of town or whatever. So that goes on the menu plan for that week is the night we go out.
I call that, having a sous chef. I mean, basically, right? You got to have a sous chef sometimes.
Yeah. So we always, it's like, okay, that's part of the plan. So I like that. So I don't want to keep you for too long because I know you are starving.
Thank you.
So can we do one more tip before we lose you?
Yeah. I think probably the biggest, the thing that I'll kind of leave everyone with, and this is the second piece to, I kind of think of my philosophy in two prongs. One is that eating well and taking care of yourself doesn't have to be hard. It can make it actually feel effortless. And the other piece of that is that taking care of yourself first is the best tool that you have for achieving whatever it is you want to achieve in your life. And I know it sounds cliche, but I really believe that particularly when it comes to business owners, whether again, you're an entrepreneur or working in a corporate environment, you will not be able to achieve what you want to achieve in your life if you don't take care of yourself and your body first. And it may sound selfish to you, but I promise you that everyone in your life will benefit from that. So if you can start flipping, a lot of people feel guilty about that, about, putting themselves first when it comes to this stuff, particularly, especially if you have kids, it's hard to kind of make that shift. But I promise you that if you can make that mind shift and try to shed that guilt around it, it will help everyone in your life. It will help you. You'll actually be able to get stuff done in your life that you want to get done.
Also, from a parent perspective, you have to realize that you're an example to your kids and you want them to be the kind of adult that takes care of themselves and that makes themselves a priority. You have to show them what that looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. Absolutely.
We actually talked about this a couple weeks ago on Young Female Entrepreneurs. You guys know the Thursday night show I co-host with Jennifer Dono over at youngfemaleentrepreneurs.com. We talked about sort of a YFE 101, and sort of, it was sort of the things we wish we'd known when we'd first started. And one of the things we talked about was that self-care piece and that taking care of ourselves and the, eating healthy and working out and just, taking time to be sane, whether that's like sitting down and watching television that you is just like guilty pleasure stuff, or you know what I mean? Like those little self-care acts. And we were talking about how vital those are, because really, if you can't take care, if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anyone else. And I know that for a lot of women entrepreneurs, that's sort of the center of your business is providing a service or helping support or taking care of other people. Not to mention, people who have families and friends and things like that. It's just sort of our instinct in a lot of situations to be that kind of caregiver. And we can't do that if we're not taking care of ourselves. So I think that's a really good point, and a really important point to make. I know I fall into that all the time and I'm terrible about it. I'm first to raise my hand on that one. But it's a vital lesson to learn. And it's funny because I always like remember it and put it back into action. And I'm like, I don't know why I stopped doing this. And then I stopped doing it. And I'm like, okay, now I got to restart. You know what I mean? So definitely, I really like that. So before I let you go, can you let everybody know a little bit more about your programs and where we can work with you and things like that?
Sure, absolutely. So the best place to connect with me is on my website. It's Dalch Wellness. So that's DALCHwellness.com. And people can jump onto my mailing list there and get sort of a free ebook that gives them some of these how to stay healthy with a crazy life tips. Some of them are ones that I kind of talked about today, and there's some others in there as well. So you'll get that free book. And then I have a program that I should mention that's starting up again soon called the Effortless Eating Program, aptly enough. And I run it twice a year, and it's my online program. I also have private coaching program. So this is my online group program, and it is so much fun, and it's really designed to be fun. It's a 6-week program with group calls and a private Facebook page. And it basically helps create this framework that we've been talking about. Ooh. You know, in 6 weeks, it gives people this framework to help them take control of their self-care habits and feel 100 times better. So that starts at the end of April. So yeah, you can come on over to the website and get more information on that as well.
Awesome. And I'll have links to all of that stuff on the show notes. So just head over to thestacyharris.com and you'll find those. Thank you so much, Laura, for being on the show. It was awesome to chat with you.
Thank you.
And I think we really helped people today.
Good. I hope so.
Now go eat some lunch.
Yeah, I'm going to go eat now.
But awesome. All right. Thanks again for being on the show.